in Mark chapter 3. We're going to start there because this morning we talked about Satan and his workings, and we looked at that primarily in relation to how I believe Satan operates in the present dispensation of grace. And there's no doubt that Satan is alive and well, that he's real, that he is a spiritual being, that he has influence over people, and all of those things. Where the question generally comes in is what is the extent of his power? One of the things that prompted this study was a question came up among some men, and we were talking about the charismatic movement. And they said, somebody made the statement that they believed that it was the spirit of Satan in people that caused them to be able to speak in tongues. Well, that may be true to a certain extent in that it has to do with the mind. It has to do with believing something. But to have a supernatural power that causes a person to speak in tongues, I don't believe that is in effect today, and I'll show you why through the scriptures. And so what we looked at this morning primarily was how, as a matter of fact, I think every verse but one where Paul mentions the devil or Satan we looked at today. And if we didn't, we'll look at them throughout this study. In other words, every verse where he's mentioned, we're going to cover. Because it's important that we understand in relation to what is written to us. This is a dispensational issue. And you know it's a dispensational issue because you see such a distinction in the working of Satan throughout the Bible. Now, we're kind of going at this backwards because this morning we looked at how he's working in this present age. And so we want to move back now and look at how his power and the manifestation of that during the period of time covered by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is, during the earthly ministry of Christ. Mark 3 is a good place to start because it speaks to what's going on in relation to the demonic activity during the ministry of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to earth and begins his earthly ministry at about the age of 30. That ministry centers upon miracles, signs, and wonders. And one of those that's almost always mentioned, not every time, is casting out of unclean spirits. I mentioned to you this morning that the word demon is not actually in the Bible. Now, there are demonic spirits mentioned, but they're called unclean spirits, evil spirits, wicked spirits, and deceiving spirits. And so as we look at this, when I may mention, call it a demon spirit or demon, but that's not actually a Bible term. That's a term that we use in relation to evil spirits and so forth. But in Mark chapter 3, in verse 27, Jesus Christ says, let's go back up to verse 23. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, over in Luke chapter 4, we saw this morning the power that no doubt Satan possessed at the coming of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, in verse 5, Luke 4 verse 5, the devil taking him up into a high mountain. I'll wait just a second till you get there. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4, in verse 5. He says there in verse 5, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Then we see that Satan, who is called the prince of the power of the air, actually is the god of this world, as the Bible also calls him, and had the power to deliver the kings of this world to the Lord Jesus Christ if Christ would fall down and worship Satan. I believe that took place as a result of the fall, and that the world in which we live is the dominion of Satan and his spirit and so forth. And that was true back here in the day of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ says no man can enter into a strong man's house, it's like Christ is coming out of heaven into this realm or this house, if you will, this tabernacle of the earth. And he says no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Now, look over in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. When you get to 19, go over one chapter to chapter 20, because that's where we really need to be. Revelation chapter 20. I just try to get you in the ballpark. I can't always remember exactly where the verses are, but once I get there, I can generally find them. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Well, then I believe that's the binding of Mark chapter 3. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and he will spoil his house. So the Lord Jesus Christ did not do that at his first coming. However, it will be done at his second coming, and he will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And he's shut up, and a seal is put upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. And by the way, notice that word deceive. That word is used over and over again in relation to Satan. His ministry is a ministry of deception. And it was from the very beginning. The one thing that we find in common about Satan's dealings among men in every dispensation, it is a ministry of deceit. It's a ministry of fraud, if you will, perpetrating fraud on people, deceiving people. And he says there that he will deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So, during the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see in those particular books, you see a pronouncement, if you will, of demonic activity like you don't find anywhere else in the Bible. You can go back in the Old Testament, you can read over there, and you'll find illustrations of demonic activity. You'll find, for example, those that duplicate the miracles of Moses and Aaron. And so forth. But you don't find a whole lot of talk about it. You don't find a whole lot about it in the Old Testament. But when you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you find a lot about demon activity or spiritual activity as far as the devil is concerned. Look in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, we read the first part of it this morning, where he is, it's again an account the same as Luke 4, and it's about the temptation of Jesus Christ. But it's interesting that after he's tempted, verse 11 says, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And then he goes throughout the countryside there, and you get down to verse 25. And it said, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So the first account that you have of Jesus Christ preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you find that it is mentioned there that there are those that are sick, those that are taken with diseases, torments, and those that are possessed with devils. Look, if you will, over in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7. Mark 7. In verse 24. Mark 7. 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Now, there's probably more about this I don't understand than I do, but I can read plain English, and I understand that there were those that were actually possessed of devils. All that entails, I don't know, but we're going to read about several things in relation to that. And part of the ministry of the kingdom was to cast those out. Why? Because you can't enter into a strong man's house unless he be bound and so forth. And so this demonic activity that is going on, I believe, is in relation to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that you also see that in the tribulation period. Over in the book of Revelation, if we have time, we'll go over there. So notice in Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew 10, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. If you look over in Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, companion passage, he says, He called unto them the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. You see, here, the first thing he mentions is the unclean. Well, why would they need power over unclean spirits? Because these unclean spirits' purpose was to resist the ministry of preaching this gospel of the kingdom. So over in Mark chapter 16, after Jesus Christ has died, buried, and raised again, he's given the commission to the 11 here. And he says there in Mark 16, verse 15, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, shall they speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, so we see the ministry then includes, during the ministry of Jesus Christ, and during the ministry they're conducted after Christ leaves, that of casting out devils, unclean spirits, or whatever you want to call them. But I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 7, because there's something very important, we mentioned this briefly this morning, that we need to understand. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21. Now, as I've mentioned this morning, God has always dwelt with man on the basis of man's free will. If the disciples of Christ had the power to cast out unclean spirits, and Christ himself demonstrated that power, then as people saw that, there would be no doubt in their mind that they were God, right? Therefore, man, there would be no confusion, in other words. But if you read Matthew chapter 7, notice the verse here in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the false apostles had the power to do the same thing that the apostles of Jesus Christ did, apparently. Because God himself says, or they said rather, to him, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, we've cast out devils in thy name, and done many wonderful works. And yet he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, here again, don't ask me to explain all of that. I can read you the words, and I can tell you that I believe every word of it. And I may not understand all of that, but I can see in that verse that there are those who do not have part in the kingdom, which means they're ultimately lost people, that had the same power that were being exercised by the disciples that Christ set forth. Now, in relation to these unclean spirits, I want you to notice how that those unclean spirits were manifested. Look over in Matthew chapter 9, in Matthew 9, and you see, it's important that we look at all this because what we see over here manifested in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the reason there's confusion today over here. I mean, I was taught as a little boy that people that had sickness, that it was very possible that it was because they were out of the will of the Lord and it was an unclean spirit in them and that kind of thing. Well, look in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man. That would be somebody that, not ignorant, but couldn't speak. A dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So this man that could not speak, he could not speak because of this unclean spirit, this devil that possessed him. When the devil was cast out, he was able to speak. Look over in chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 41, Luke 9:41, and Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Now, these things were fierce, folks. This wasn't something just a mess around with. These were real. Look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. in verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and said, Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So these are just illustrations that these unclean spirits brought about a physical manifestation. In one case, blindness, dumb, not being able to speak, sickness, and so forth. Not only that, look back in Matthew chapter, let's look in Luke chapter 8. So we'll have to keep turning back and forth so much. Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, And with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee? Notice, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. It's always amazed me that the Jewish nation to whom Jesus Christ came did not know who he was, and yet the demons did, the demonic spirits. And this one speaking knew not only that Jesus was the Son of God, but that he had come to cast him out. Because he says there, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. You remember, I believe it's in the book of James where the Bible says, You believe in God to do well, the devil also believes in God. Well, these demonic spirits know who he is. They knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and knew for which he came. Look back in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8:28, And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go, and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Didn't want him around, did they? You'd think they'd welcome him. Now, why these demons desire to be put into a swine? Somebody asked me about that Wednesday night. The only thing I can think of is that they had to have a habitation in order to exist. They couldn't exist outside of a habitation. I heard some of that on radio preaching one time that this is the reason you shouldn't eat pork. Well, hopefully all the devils got cast out of pigs before we barbecued them. I don't understand why that was, but apparently there was a reason they desired. They needed a habitation. But when they got one, they caused a herd of swine to run violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. So they would have perished anyway. Look in one other place in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, and well, let's just start in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh to the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They were called legion because there were many, and it says there were about 2,000 of them. And they that fed the swine and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And he was coming to the ship. He had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So we see the manifestation of these evil spirits is in a very physical and real sense. And there were multitudes of them. And the ministry of Jesus and the 12 included casting those out. And as I said, I believe that the reason for that is because of the coming of Jesus Christ and the devil unleashing all of his forces that he could against the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that we read there that they knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. If you want a couple of other references for that, we won't turn to them. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 34, there's an account of demons that know Christ or unclean spirits that know him. Mark chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, and Luke 4, 33 through 36. Not only do they know Christ, they were aware of their impending doom. They knew that he had come to destroy them, cast them out, as we read there in Matthew chapter 8. Now, I want you to look over in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. This is the verse that I think would explain why there is this great influx of these demon spirits during the ministry of Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, the Bible says, And there was war in heaven, and this is probably, more than likely, during the middle of the tribulation period. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now you think about, if these things were this violent and this prevalent during the ministry of Christ, that during the tribulation, when Christ again is going to come, and there's war in heaven, and they're cast out into the earth, what kind of place that will be when there is not the presence of the Holy Spirit here because the church has been taken out. You're talking about all hell breaking out on earth. You're talking about unclean spirits and demon possession. It will be prevalent, and it will be the most horrible 7 years that this earth has ever known. He says in verse 10, "And I beheld a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, I say, woe unto them, and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Folks, that was perfectly with what we're studying here. That the devils know their time is due, and they have but a short time, and the violence and the mayhem that they present on this earth, it's just, it's unthinkable almost. And that's why you see what you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe that with all of my heart. And I think that that will compare and will show that. Now, as you get over to the book of Acts, I want you to notice, look over to Acts chapter 5, because Acts is a continuation of the ministry that was given to the disciples during the earthly ministry of Christ, with just one caveat, and that is that the Messiah has now been proven to be the Messiah by his death, burial, and resurrection. We played the tape this morning by Brother Dan Gross that he did during our Bible conference, and I know it was, you know, it was just a very exact study, and a lot of people, you know, probably thought, well, that's kind of boring. But the thing is one of the points he made was so interesting and so informative, and that is that much of the confusion among the nation Israel was not distinguishing between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. They knew only of the first coming. So when John's over there in prison questioning, is this the Christ, he's doing that because he is confused that the spirits have not, that he's not been released from prison, and all the things that had been prophesied in relation to his coming had not taken place. The problem was is that it was not revealed which coming. In other words, he talks about the first coming and the second coming, but if you don't know there's going to be two comings, everybody would have thought everything was going to happen at his first coming. And so it is with the ministry that they're carrying out. Now the disciples, as they begin to preach in Acts, have a better understanding because in Luke 24, he opened their eyes of understanding to the scriptures and so forth. Why, early in their ministry, they didn't even know he was going to die. Remember in Matthew chapter 16, he told him he's going to die, and Peter said, "Far be it from thee." And you know what he said? "Get thee behind me, what? Satan." You see, they didn't understand all that's going on. In Acts, it's a continuation of the ministry, but with a greater understanding. You get over to Acts chapter 5. By the way, before we read here, go back to John. Hold on here in Acts 5 and go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Jesus Christ is praying in relation to his crucifixion. Verse 29, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. There was something that took place at the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ that changed things in relation to the demonic activity upon the earth. And I believe these verses right here explain it. Now, go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, in verse 15, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Then there came also a multitude out of cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folks with them, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Notice over in chapter 8, in Acts chapter 8, they are carrying on the ministry that Jesus Christ gave them. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 7, verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. So we see a continuation of this ministry of the 12 doing exactly what they were told to do. Now, the question comes up about the Apostle Paul. Look in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, and notice there in verse 16. In Acts 16, verse 16, it came to pass. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Now, how would Paul know that this woman had a unclean spirit? I've been asked that many times. I have a preacher friend that used to say, because she was a woman preacher. Well, I don't buy that. She was speaking the truth, wasn't she? I mean, look at what she said. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. True statement. Which show unto us the way of salvation. True statement. And she did this many days. You think they're praising God that this woman is preaching the truth, telling the truth. And then it says, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Well, I would suppose, as I read the passage, the only thing I come up with is that everything she said apparently isn't recorded here. There was something that she said that caused Paul to know it, and also he probably had the spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment. But she's speaking the truth here, which really to me is so enlightening. When you think about the first encounter that Paul has with the unclean spirit, as opposed to these disciples. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, what do we look at this morning? What was the manifestation of Satan in the dispensation of the grace of God? He manifested himself as an angel of light, preaching what? Doctrine. And it's so close to the truth that you can't even, many people can't discern between it. And here's this demon spirit preaching the truth. These men are of the Most High God. These men are preaching the way of salvation. But she probably said also, if you'll repent and be baptized, you can be saved. I don't know, folks. I don't know what she said. But I know, and I just find this so interesting, that Paul's encounter with this spirit is not somebody that's cutting themselves and somebody that's in a cave somewhere. It's somebody that's walking around proclaiming that he is for God and he is preaching the truth. That's got to be significant. And he cast out the devil. And people say, well, why did Paul have the power to cast out the devil? Aren't we living in him in a different dispensation? Well, I want you to notice something. Look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, you see, I believe it's the Lord showing us in a very clear and distinct way that the unclean spirit is not going to be the same, have the same activity in the dispensation of grace as it did back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This encounter is altogether different that Paul has, and yet he still has the power to cast out the devil. Why is that? Well, look in Romans chapter 15. In Romans 15, in verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through many mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Then we know that Paul, in the beginning of his ministry, carried out his ministry, and it included, he said, through mighty signs and wonders. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And here's the reason why. Second Corinthians 12, verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. How much reception do you think Paul would have had among people when you've got 12 men over here casting out demons, healing people, raising the dead, speaking in tongues, and Paul can't do any of that? If the manifestation of an apostle were the signs, miracles and wonders, which they were, and you had to know not only those things, but what was coming out of their mouth, because there were those that also had that power that were not of God, Matthew chapter 7, then the apostle Paul had to have the manifestation of those same powers in the beginning of his ministry, or he would have never been accepted as apostle of God. And that's what he says right here. He said, I am behind the very chief apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. However, what we find out, and we're running out of time here, but let's just look at a couple of verses. Look in, Acts chapter 19. Do this quickly. Acts chapter 19. Verse 11, and God wrought spiritual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul had the gifts, the miraculous gifts. However, and we're not going to take time to run the verses. We'll do this next time. We know for a fact that there came a time when Paul could no longer heal. He said, he left Trophimus, was it? At Miletus is sick. Well, if Paul could have healed him, he would have healed him. He told Timothy, take a little wine for their stomach's sake. There was, Paul told people that there were going to be seducing spirits. Well, if he still had the power to cast out the spirits, he would have done so. But he didn't. He said they were seducing spirits. We know he didn't have the power to cast those out. In Acts 16, in the early part of Paul's ministry, he was miraculously released from prison and ended up dying in prison. Why? Because there came a time when the gifts were no longer in effect and the Word of God came to completion so that today we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's why I believe, think about this, if the devil had the power to do all the things that people saying he has the power to do today, then it would only be logical that God would be doing those same things among the saints. Because in every instance you see that the devil is working in the manner in which God is working. When God's ministers could cast out devils, so could the devil himself cast it. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole deal was in Matthew 3. They were saying that Jesus was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. And he said, how can that be? That wouldn't make any sense. But what did make sense is they were doing it because so that they would be accepted as the ministers of Christ. It is interesting that when we studied 1 John, and we talked about the Antichrist, that when the Antichrist comes, how does he come? Signs, power, lying wonders. It all will revert back, folks. All right, our time is gone. I've gone a little bit over I usually do, and this is just so much information to cover, but I don't want to leave anything undone. Some subjects you just can't get hardly through with, but I hope that looking at these verses, you'll see how dramatic and different the manifestation was of evil spirits over here as opposed to what we read over here. And as I mentioned to the folks there Wednesday night, if Paul is our apostle, and he is, and he was given the gospel of the grace of God, and he did, he was, and he was given the dispensation of the grace of God, and he said, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you of the commandments of the Lord. And the devil was still operating in the manner in which he was back here. Don't you think that Paul would have given us some clue to that? Some instruction about, in other words, if the ministry still included casting out devils, don't you think Paul would have told us about that? If it included, Paul never one time asked anybody to practice healing, casting out devils, speaking in tongues. He addressed those issues, but he never told anybody to do it. Not one time in his epistles. Well, if that's our marching orders, and that's what we say they are, then there must be a significant reason why he didn't do it. You know why he didn't do it? Because it's not for us. Those things are for a different time. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. We'll take up either next Sunday morning or next Sunday night with this subject once again.